Hey, friend, welcome to Little by Little Homeschool Podcast. We are here at episode 151, and we're going to talk about, hey, what's the big deal about reading aloud to my child? And we are hearing this more and more, and sometimes we can feel like things are fads, or it's just really popular to talk about it. But I'm actually even seeing billboards in the city that I live closest next to, like big billboards telling parents to read to their kids. And I'm like, wow, okay. So we can really think, is this a trending thing? Maybe it is. I don't really care. Because I think that it's important whether others are now kind of getting on board and seeing the benefits of reading aloud to their children. That's great. Let's allow them. Be like, yeah, come on, get onto the bandwagon. This is a good bandwagon. But today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what the big deal is. And I'm going to share some benefits and a bit of our journey and stuff when it comes to reading and how it's all turned out, because I'm at the further end than you probably are. But usually when people do a podcast episode, or whether it's a blog or social media, anytime talking about reading, usually they'll point to some statistics and scientific studies, we'll say, that talk and come at, I guess basically that help show people that this is a good thing. But I'm going to scratch all that today, and I'm going to come at it from a different angle, and I have got a different take on it. So we're going to scrub the statistics, which have their own place, but I decided not to use those. So let's see. How am I going to convince you today that reading is a big deal and it's a good thing, so good to read aloud to your child? All right, stay tuned, find out.
Welcome to the Little by Little Homeschool Podcast, where you can get out of survival mode, feel confident in your homeschool decisions, and gain peace in your heart and home. I know that when we plant our feet firmly in this season of life and embrace our homeschooling, motherhood, and homemaking, we will thrive. I truly believe that we can do this from a place of peace and joy, all while growing a ton of contentment. And while we're at it, Mama, let's deepen those relationships with our children and love these years we get to pour into them. If you're ready to create beauty, seek simplicity, and live intentionally, homeschool mama, then close out that lesson book, let the kids go play, and let's have an authentic conversation.
Before we dig a little bit deeper into reading, I want to share a fun announcement with you. This is something that I have been working on behind the scenes. I've been a little bit quiet in most places on social media, mostly, because I wanted to dedicate my time to this. This is a long time coming, but I finally was like, sit down, girl, you gotta work on this, because I want it to be a resource for you. I want you to be able to get all the information, be able to keep up with what's going on with Little by Little Homeschool and just all those great things. So I'm excited to announce to you that the website is live. Yay! You can go to littlebylittlehomeschool.com and see it. I would actually love if you would pop over there, give it a look through. And to be honest, you know, I kind of tend to be my own editor. So if you find typos or you find things that are off, I do not have too much pride. I would actually love for you to find anything that's a little bit off. Go ahead and send me an email or message me through Facebook or Instagram and just let me know. But I'm kind of hoping nobody finds anything wrong, because that means that I edited it well, and it's okay. But I would love if you could pop over there and check out the website, littlebylittlehomeschool.com. There is more that will be coming to it, but at this point, I was like, I just got to get this out there. And I think that was like the biggest hurdle. And now I can slowly add pages and add different resources to it. But yeah, hop over there. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear it. But let's talk a bit more about reading aloud to our kids. And I'm going to start here and tell you a bit about my own journey. And let's just hop into a time machine, we'll say, and go back 20 years to when I was a new mom. And at that time, my daughter was probably about 6 months old. And I had just heard about reading, and I had a couple of people who gave me books for the baby shower. And so I had those, maybe like 5 books on the shelf. And I felt like I need to start reading to her. I feel like some of these baby books are telling me that I should. And you know what? I felt really silly reading to her, because either she was just kind of like just laying there, like, you know, a blob, didn't really respond at all. And then as I continued to read, then it became, I know you know exactly, you can picture the scene. I'm trying to read, but she's trying to eat the book. And I was like, I thought we were supposed to be reading. And I think that part of it also is being able to give language to our children and talking to them. And it just kind of progressed. Like, for a while, to be honest, I felt like it was a little bit silly. But then, as she got older, she enjoyed it. And there were favorite books. And I can tell you right now, if you give me enough time right now, I might still be able to pull it out of the back of my head. But I had Goodnight Moon memorized. And it was partly because I read it so many times, but also partly because before I would put her to bed, and then her brothers too, I read it for many, many years. We would turn the lights down really low, and sometimes it was difficult to read. And if you read that book, you know some of the pages are pretty dark. And I was like, I just have to memorize this book, which they thought was great because I had it memorized and they could just look at the book and not have to worry about which page they were on, and they could flip through. And but as they got older, I think that we oftentimes can feel like, oh, my kid can read. So once they start reading, a lot of times parents feel like, well, they can read. They don't need me to read to them. But I'm going to say, no, don't stop reading to them. And that's what I want to talk about more today. And just diving into the fact that your kids are never too old to be read to. And I have continued on with reading to my kids all the way through they were in my homeschool. And I think that even now, if my two oldest who have graduated homeschool, if they were home and I was reading and they had the time, they would pop in and they would hop onto the couch and they would gladly listen as well. There really is no time. We have to stop and think about how we think that kids start reading and then they're fine. They don't need to be read to anymore. But we as adults, we love stories. Look at all of the audio apps that there are. Just look at even just like Amazon's Audible. How many books are, and people love to listen to stories. A lot of times now we can easily do that. We can just hit the play button on our phone, pop our earbuds in, or just keep it on speaker, and we can get laundry done. We can wash the dishes. We can get some cleaning. We can basically do any cleaning besides vacuuming and be listening to a story. And so if as adults we enjoy listening to stories and having books read to us, how much more do children? Like, a lot more. You know that, right? Yes, you do, because you've got some kiddos that are clamoring for you to read to them. And I'm going to share with you right here, right now, just a couple of key points that I want you to keep in mind, because we can often feel like as homeschool moms, you're like, I have the math lessons to do. I have the spelling lessons to do. We have the geography, the history, the science experiments. Oh, we need to do some artwork. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be teaching them some music. We want to get outside, do nature studies. Maybe you have a co-op. Maybe you volunteer places. There is so much, and we think we can just push that aside. We can push aside the reading. Or you could say to yourself, you know, I've done a lot of reading of science and history and a lot of these other maybe dry sort of textbooks that your kids aren't super thrilled about. But it's not the same as reading aloud a fun story, whether it's a fiction or a nonfiction or it's a historical biography. It doesn't matter the genre. Kids love to listen to stories. We are just wired that way. God has made us wired that way. And also, if you are reading to them dry, boring textbooks because you are confused as to what homeschool curriculum to get, you're going to head over to the website, littlebylittlehomeschool.com, and you're going to tap on the section there that says course. And you're going to go get all the information about Clarifier Homeschool. And I want to see you over there because you just got to get rid of those old, boring, drab textbooks. There is so much out there. I'm going to walk you through that process of finding the best curriculum for your kiddos. And this is a great time of the year to do this because you'll be all prepared, have some time off for the summer, and then jump into the next homeschool year like, yeah, I got this. I've got everything all set and squared away, and you'll be good to go. So you can go over to the website and get all that information. But I have a question for you, and I want you to maybe pause this episode and really think and try to figure out. But I want to know, were you ever read to? Did anybody read aloud to you? I think your answer might be similar to mine. And you might say, yes, I was read to in school until maybe first grade. So kindergarten, first grade, the teachers would read. But by that point, most kids knew how to read and there just wasn't time for it. Now, if you were similar to me and you're like, yeah, I think I was read to up until that point, and beyond that, you know, Bible studies or Bible stories with your family or in Sunday school, but it's a little bit different than somebody purposely taking time aside and saying, hey, I'm going to pour into you. We're going to read a chapter today, and we're going to read a chapter the next day. We're going to read another chapter the next day. I want to ask you a follow-up question. How would it have felt if you were read to, if beyond that first grade, somebody came up alongside you and said, every day, I'm going to read to you. Again, whether it's a chapter a day Or it's, hey, we're going to set aside 30 minutes and we're just going to see how far we get in this book. And tomorrow we're going to set aside 30 minutes. We're going to see how far we get. And we're just going to continue reading. And when this book is done, we're going to go get another book and we're going to start that book and we're going to do the same thing. How would you have felt as a child? That would have been so much fun. And we can often feel like, oh, older kids, maybe they don't want to. I'm going to tell you right now that sometimes older kids, especially if you are bringing a tween or a teen home from the public school, they might think you're weird. Well, you are weird. We're all a little weird, and that's okay. But they're going to be like, this is kind of weird to do. Just do it anyway. Even if you don't think they're paying attention, I can assure you that they will eventually come around. Maybe it's not on day one. Maybe it's not on day 10. Maybe it's on day 60, but that's okay. Keep at it. But just think, how would you have felt if someone continued to read to you, to take the time aside and to just pour into you in that way? In a way that we often think, like, reading, it doesn't add anything to us. It really doesn't, you know, it's not the science. It's not the English. It's not the history. It's not the math. So is it really important? It actually is. It's really important for relationships. And if you have not been reading aloud to your kid, I hope by the end of this episode that you're saying, yeah, I think I'm going to give that a try. Which leads into my second point, is that children feel seen and they feel important when we read to them. Because if you weren't reading to them, I guarantee that you would have filled up that time. Maybe you would have been doing the dishes. Maybe you would have been mopping the floor. Maybe you would have been changing the laundry. Maybe you would have been doing anything, which is not a bad thing. Those are all good and fine things, and those are things that you still need to get done during the day. But when we take time and we set it aside and we say, you are important enough for me to read this silly fiction book even, simply because you are important to me and I love you and I want to read this with you. I want to spend time with you. So when we read aloud to children, they feel seen and they feel important in our lives. Third thing I want to mention here is that when it comes to sitting down and reading, whether this is in your living room or it's in the evening before bed or it's in the middle of the day and it's a beautiful day and you go outside or you bring your book to the park, wherever your location is, it doesn't matter. When we read to our kids, we get to bond with them over stories and the imagination that that builds up in them. They grow imagination by listening to imaginative stories. Whether those imaginative stories are fiction or nonfiction, there still is, they in their minds, they picture it. How many times have you read a book and then watched a movie and asked yourself which was better? Most of the time, and I think in my family with my kids, I would probably say it's been almost 100% of the time that they will say the book, even when the movie was really good. Now, if they watched the movie completely just without knowing there was even a book, they would probably think the movie was fine. But once you read a book, it just conjures up in your mind. You're seeing it. And sometimes it's a little bit of a disappointment, right? When you watch the movie and you're like, oh, they completely missed that part. Or I imagined the main character looking like this, and they cast somebody in that role completely different. But aside from the movies, when we read books, we bond with our kids over those stories. We have this commonality. It's like we went through an experience together. Have you ever been on maybe a trip or an outing, a field trip, or just anything that you've done with other people, and maybe there's been tumultuous times in it, or there's been a little bit of stress? You guys have bonded through that. Just, it's the same with stories. You get to bond through reading through those stories. And the fun thing is, out in life, and kids will be like, hey, mom, remember this was like this. Or they'll be like, hey, mom, look, we're reenacting the Swiss Family Robinson. Or, hey, mom, do you remember when we read Little Women? This is what I pictured it would be like. And again, it doesn't matter what the book is, but the kids can, they'll start to see things in their life and they'll start to bring up those stories. And you will know at that time that those hours that I spent reading that book to them were completely worth it. All right, the fourth thing I want to mention here is, which leads a little bit into this, is that reading stories sparks conversations. Now, sometimes those conversations happen immediately during the book, but sometimes they happen afterwards. Sometimes it'll happen years afterwards. Sometimes I don't even remember the books that I have read to my kids, and they'll be like, hey, mom, remember when we read this? This kind of reminds me of this, or that person reminds me of that character. And I'm like, wow, I literally don't even remember reading that book to you, but I'm going to trust that your memory is way better than my memory. But we can have conversations even just right then and there, where you can ask kids questions and they can ask you questions. And sometimes when the books that we read maybe are set in a different time period, that can lead to a lot of discussion about how that time period is different. Or maybe you'll run into some moral dilemmas within those stories. And you could say, is that how you would do it? Or what would you do differently? And you can really get insight into your kids' hearts. They actually get a lot of practice of being able to share their thoughts and their feelings and what their real impressions are of a story, and they're able to then, it really helps them with being able to respond and really gives them great practice when it comes to conversational skills. So don't think that when you do read a book that if they start talking during it, or I have one of my kiddos who will, he would raise his hand, like as I'm reading, would raise his hand. Well, now you got numbered, you know, down to two of them. But he'd raise his hand. Like, I'm like, we're not in school here. You don't have to raise your hand. But he didn't know any other way to like get my attention. But he had a lot to say during the book. And so I would, you know, be like, okay, put my finger up like one minute or something. I'd just try to finish that sentence or that paragraph or those couple of thoughts. And then we would have conversations. Don't feel like those are wasted times during the reading of the chapters, that you have conversations that is wasted, and don't think it's wasted time afterwards. Maybe you only have 30 minutes or so. You're like, we have 30 minutes to read, but there's always a lot of conversation. So I'm just going to read for 20, 25 minutes, and then we will add in time. Then I'll have enough time for us to be able to have some conversations and discussions. And the fifth and final thing that I want to mention here about reading aloud, I've been talking a lot a bit about the benefits to the kids, and there are benefits to us and benefits to the relationship that they have. But I don't know if you caught this, I mentioned this a little bit, kind of alluded to a little bit earlier, but when we read aloud to our children, it forces us as moms to slow down. Do you have a problem slowing down? I absolutely do. I'm over here raising my hand. I have a problem slowing down. And I often need to be, we'll say, quote unquote, forced to slow down, knowing that my children are looking forward to me reading them a couple of books, whether it's a couple picture books or reading to them a couple of chapters before bed. They're counting on that. It's like an appointment. It's like we have a date and I have to be there. I have to meet up with them at that time. They're counting on me and it forces me to slow down, which in the evening is a really good thing for us moms, because sometimes we can just get going on things. And I know for myself, sometimes like, okay, I can get a bunch done and I can push off sleep some. And then the next day, totally not worth it. But it forces us to slow down. It can force us to slow down during the day. I still do a morning time, even though it's just me and my ninth grader, we still do morning time. And we end every single morning time with a read aloud. I'm still reading fiction. I'm trying to think. It's based upon like someone's real story, but it's not a biography. If you know, let me know. But we are really enjoying it. It's a part of a series that we started years ago when I had all three of my kids, and somehow we just kind of found different books to read, and so picked this back up to read. And we're just really enjoying reading together. It's fun to just smile and laugh at some things, and yeah, it's just a really good way to end our morning time. And it's a standing date that he and I have every single day. And yes, he reads on his own and all those things, and we can get into that in another episode. But today I wanted to focus a bit on why it's important and why it really is a big deal, but not in like a statistical way. See, I had no statistics at all in any of that. I didn't even look it up because I know that I don't need statistics. I don't need scientific studies or investigations done to know the benefits of reading aloud to my children, because I have seen it. And I had really no idea when she was 6 months old reading to her that it would grow in such a way. And I had no idea at that time that I would have three children and there would be many, many years of us curling up on the couch and just reading together, or grabbing the books and going outside and spreading a blanket out and enjoying some nice weather and doing some reading. I had no idea where it would grow, but I'm so glad that it did. And I hope that these couple of points that I've given have encouraged you to go out, get your library card and go out and get a book. Or maybe you have some books on your bookshelf and all you need to do is pull it down and tell your kids. And trust me, if you tell them, I'm going to read to you before bed, they will not go to bed until you read to them. So make a date, let them know, they will not let you forget. And slow down. Enjoy the time. Know that it's not wasted time. It's time that's going to grow and build your relationship deeper and deeper. And here we are at the end of the episode, and I pray that this has blessed and encouraged you. And now that we're done with the episode, I do want you to go over to littlebylittlehomeschool.com, check out the brand new fresh website. And I guess I should say, yes, if you follow me on Instagram, you would know when you look at the pictures on there that my hair is longer now than it was. I do need to make an appointment not to cut my hair, because I actually am liking it a little bit longer. I think it's fun. It's kind of my midlife crisis, I guess. That's how crazy I get, is that I grow my hair out for my midlife crisis. But I'm kind of having a little bit of fun. I felt like I wanted to change it up after having short hair for so long. But if when you look at the pictures, you'll be like, I thought she looked different. I didn't cut my hair. Those are older photos. But I do have plans of getting new photos with my hair that's longer. But I will do that, and then I'll change that out. Maybe I'll let you know when that is. But just know that if you see my Instagram, I did not cut my hair. Those are just a little bit older. But I would appreciate if you'd hop on over there, give it a look over, let me know what you think, and then be back here just in a couple days on Thursday for the next episode.
If this podcast has encouraged you, the number one way you can thank me is to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts. I love to hear how this show has impacted you, so if you could hop over and do that, I'd be so grateful. While you're at it, take a screenshot of this episode and share it with your friends to encourage them. You can also find me over on Instagram at Little by Little Homeschool. Until next time, have a beautiful day, Mama.